Let us pray. Fill us with understanding, O Lord, that we may look at your word and understand your truth and do your will through Jesus Christ. Amen. The origins of Mother's Day date back to, in fact, the ancient Greek times, although the way we celebrate it today is probably in the early 20th century, coming probably from America. But the ancient Greeks dedicated an annual spring festival to maternal goddesses. And the Romans also celebrated a spring festival called Hilaria, which was for a mother goddess called Cybele. More recent origins date back to the 1600s, when it was celebrated in England on the fourth Sunday of Lent, which is today. The Americans, being Americans, changed it to May, but the fourth Sunday of Lent is what we have here today. And as well as being Mothering Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent is sometimes called Laetare Sunday, the word rejoice, or refreshment Sunday. The day when the austerity of Lent was relaxed a little, a special kind of fruitcake was served, modestly breaking the Lenten fast. And in some traditions, it's known as Laughter Sunday. So I hope some of the things from the talk to the young people allowed us at least to be within Laughter Sunday. Let me try to keep that going. She cooked the breakfast, first of all, washed the cups and plates, dressed the children, and made sure all the socks were made. Combed their hair and made their beds, sent them out to play, gathered up their worldly toys, put some books away. Dusted chairs and mopped the stairs, ironed an hour or two, baked a jar of cookies, then made a pot of stew. The telephone rang constantly, the doorbell did the same. A youngster fell and stubbed his toe, and then the laundry came. She picked up blocks and mended socks, she polished up the stove. And when her husband came at six, he said, "I envy you. It must be nice to sit at home without a thing to do." Or the young father who was trying to explain the concept of marriage to his four-year-old daughter. He got out their wedding album thinking visual images would help. He explained the entire wedding service to her. And when he was finished, he asked if she had any questions. And she pointed to a picture of the wedding party and said, "Daddy, is that the day Mummy came to work for us?" We could have picked many, many readings from the Bible about biblical mothers. The story of Moses' mother is well known to us. The woman who had such faith that she dared to approach Jesus, and we'll look a wee bit at that later on. But I wonder what some of the biblical mothers might have said. "Samson, get your hand out of that line, you don't know where it's been." "David, I told you not to play in the house with that sling. Go and practice your harp, we pay good money for these lessons." "Noah, no, you can't keep them. I told you don't bring home any more strays." Laughter Sunday, Family Sunday, Refreshment Sunday, whatever we want to call it, it's good that we are together today in church as the Christian family. And some of us may ask what a Christian family is, and do we belong to one? It may not be a normal kind of question, but one that might be useful for us to meditate upon. In the forthcoming weeks, you'll hear a little bit about a special weekend that we're having, not just in Cape Park, but in fact throughout the world, from the 15th to the 17th of June, called Invitation Sunday, or Invitation Weekend, a weekend of invitation, in fact, is its proper title. When we are going to try and invite people who don't normally come to church to come with us. And you'll be asked over the next few weeks to think about three or four or five people that you know who never come to church, who have maybe never ever come to church. And we want you to think about these people, to pray for them, and then nearer the time you will learn of some of the things that are planned Friday, Saturday and Sunday, to invite them to at least one of these events, to be part of the Christian family. And why do we do it? Because we think it's so special to be part of that. And it's part of, or it's so special because it's defined by one thing and one thing alone. The Christian family is defined by the love of God. It's God's love that establishes it. And through ceremonies like baptism and marriage, we affirm the place that God has in our life and in the life of our children. It is God's love that maintains the Christian family. And as long as we love, as long as we try to care as Christ cares, then we are doing what God asks of us and what God wants for us. I've emphasised Mother's Day, but this isn't just about mothers, and certainly the Christian family isn't just about mothers. And whether you're married or divorced or single or widowed, whether you're young or old, whether you have children or you don't have children, whether in fact you are male or female, it does not matter. For Christ wants us all. And he wants us to honour, yes, our human family, insisting that we do not cheat our parents out of the duties we owe them. But he also wants us to honour him and one another in his name. The apostle, speaking in his name and by the power of his spirit, tell us that we should not provoke our children or anger our elders. We should respect one another, care for one another, submit to one another as Christ submitted to God for our sake. As he served us, so we are to serve one another. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Look for a moment at that passage that we read from the Gospels. Matthew talks about mother's love for her suffering daughter. One commentator said she made the misery of her child her own. Heathen she may have been, but in her heart was that love for her child, which is the reflection of God's love for us all. And it was this love that made her approach the stranger, a love that allowed her to accept his silence. For when she asked for help, we're told he never said a word. And silence is a very, very difficult thing to counteract. If we're having an argument with somebody and we're met with silence, it's very difficult. But she accepted it. And then even worse, she accepted the apparent rebuff. It's not right to give food to those who don't deserve it. A really difficult thing for us to understand what Jesus was saying. But she could see beyond that, a love that was able to see the compassion beyond and behind the words of Jesus. And there is nothing nearer to the way God loves us than what that woman showed there. For not only did she show love, she showed faith. A faith, first of all, in this miracle working, I guess. But a faith which grew just in these few moments being in the person or being near to the person of Jesus. If you look at the passage closely, she began by saying, Son of David. A popular title, a political title. She came with a kind of superstition that she may have looked at him as some kind of magician. She ended by calling him Lord. Jesus, Lord. He compelled her, as it were, to look at him properly. And in him she saw something that wasn't expressible in earthly terms, but was indeed divine. You are a woman of great faith. What you want will be done for you. And at that very moment, her daughter was healed. A wonderful story about love and faith. And it shows us Jesus' concern for the practical day-to-day aspects of living as members of a family. But it also changed the definition of family, saying that there is only one that counts. There is one that is eternal, one that is unchangeable, one that is fully satisfying, the family of God. And together, as part of that family, when we show the love, when we show the nurture, when we forgive, when we respect and honour, when we walk humbly, then we have everything that we need, and other people hopefully can learn and receive something from us. I give you a new commandment, said Jesus, that you love one another. Just as I love you, so love one another. A love that doesn't count the cost. A love that is prepared to sacrifice absolutely everything. And putting aside all the commercialism of Mother's Day, if we can capture something of the true nature of what this day is about, then what a much better place the world is going to be. Let me go back to Laughter Sunday. A couple of quotations from a book entitled Dear God, Children's Letters. Dear God, thank you for my parents, my sister Anita, for my grandma and my grandpa. They're really warm and special. I forgive you for my brother Phil. I guess you didn't finish working on him. Sure. Dear God, girls are weird, except for my mum. Love you, Timothy. As we're reminded, the most powerful gift that we can receive is this sense that we are loved unconditionally. The greeting cards may say, I hope you have a happy Mother's Day. God's wish for us is much better than that, that having experienced something of the sacrificial and unconditional love that he has shown, that we may see even more of him, and in response to that we may love as Christ loved us. For in him and in God above is found all that makes our life worthwhile. He is the hope of the world, both now and eternally. Amen.